morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. Bless you all for being here today. I'd like to welcome a very special person in my life and most of your lives. He has overcome a lot of circumstances to be where he is today. He has sought and fought after love from God, love from his brothers, love from his sisters, love from everybody, even fought to love the people around him. So his story in life is one of fighting for love. And I feel like whatever message that God gives him to give to us today, whatever it is about, it will be grounded in fighting and grounded in love. So I'd like for you to welcome my beloved, my beloved, my, what did that one pastor say that one day? I can't remember. Pastor Romex said something up here one day, and I was like, I'm going to use that one day. I'm really stalling to make sure he's ready. You good? Okay, good. My husband, Junebug.
All right, fellas. If I hear that again, you're going to get them hands. Amen. I ain't talking about the ones that I'm going to lay hands on you. Amen. They ain't going to be holy, but I'm going to lay hands on you if I hear that one again. I'm going to be like them pastors that be jump kicking people to heal them. Hold him up! But I'm like Galatians. Galatians was a very, when I read Galatians, it put so much in my spirit, because when I read that verse, it hit me like a megaton truck. Because it hit me, because when I read that, I was like, okay, this is the Apostle Paul. I mean, you know, his whole life, he was the best at whatever he did. He was the best at whatever he touched. Not because he was any better than anybody else, but he made sure that he did what he had to do. And so this is a person that had all the letters, all the certifications, everything that he needed to prove his point to man. And his resume was very pleasing to man. So he had what it took to please man. Like, it's a little different than like a person with a PhD and then a homeless man trying to impress you. The person with a PhD is going to have an easier time impressing you because of what his track record, what he has on paper. Amen. And so this is the Apostle Paul. He can impress any man that he wanted to because of his track record, but he still chose to please God over men. And so he preached something that was extremely unpopular to people, because he was telling people that they were wrong. And sometimes that can make you a very unpopular person, by telling somebody that you're wrong. I think you're wrong. I believe you're wrong. So the message that I'm going to be preaching today is called Having the Courage to Follow God. And now, the thing about having the courage to follow God, people think that it's just something that you just wake up in the morning and do. You know, it's not. It takes courage. It takes strength. It takes faith to believe in yourself. And like I said, I thank God for Pastor Mo. Let's give it up for him. Come on, somebody. Thank God for Pastor Mo. Got straight G-checked the beginning of last week. I was talking to my dad on the phone just like I regularly do. And one thing I love about my father, one thing I love about Pastor Mo, he checks you in such a way that you don't even realize you got checked till you hang up the phone. And you might be driving in your car like 3 hours later, be like, did he just check me? Well, my dad said something to me, and I was just talking like I'd normally be rambling on, like, man, this is what we got to do. Man, we're going to fill this place up. We got to do this. My dad said, well, you know, son, I get excited about the Word of God. And I was like, okay. And he says, and you know what? If I'm not reading the Word of God, and I'm not excited about this. You know, some people can, like, go along. They could read one scripture a day. you know, they might be able to not get in the Word, but just maybe turn on, you know, Joyce Myers in the morning while they're getting ready for work, or, you know, maybe in the car just listen to the gospel radio a little bit and they straight. But that don't work like that for me. If I don't submerge myself with the Word of God and keep my eyes away from things that are immoral, I'm not going to be excited about salvation. I have to get in the Word every day. I have to pray. I have to actually be disciplined about this thing, or I'm not going to be excited about the gospel. And my dad said, and that excitement is what's going to fill this church. Everything else is smoke and mirrors. And I said, okay, cool, man, that is what's up. Everything else is smoke and mirrors. That's what's up. Dad, I really appreciate it. And I hung up, and I was driving in the car. I was like, did my dad just try me? And I said, man, that's how I got to check people. I be too loud, man. And I said, wow. I was giving my dad a whole bunch of suggestions that were smoke and mirrors. And the smoke and mirrors, they're great. You know, we do want the smoke machine here. We do want the lights. We do want the globe behind me, you know, moving and all that. We want all that stuff because we can have it if we want it. But we don't need it, and that's not what's going to get people excited about Jesus and Made Whole Ministries. What that's going to do, that's going to get people excited about the globe here. That's going to get people excited about concert atmosphere here, which is fine because they're not bad things and you should have them. But we have to be excited about the Word of God. So what I did is all last week I said, you know what, I'm going to read my Bible every day. Now, this is the beautiful part about, you know, my dad. We have the same name, got the same DNA. A lot of times I find stuff out about him when he was my age, and then I say, man, that's probably how I work too. And so I begin to read the Word again. Something very simple. It seems like it shouldn't be this easy. So I just begin to read the Word, and after he taught me, I read like the whole book of Galatians. I just went home and read the whole book. And I begin to grow thirsty for it. Then after I read Galatians, I realized something. I was filled with a power that I had to let go. So what I did something very simple. I just went in my phone and started texting everybody who God put on my heart. And I just started texting them messages about what I learned about in Galatians. And so, I mean, I text everybody in my phone, even people that I really don't talk to. And I noticed something. Doors begin to open up as I begin to do what God had told me to do. And so as I begin to challenge other people to get in the Word, I got a challenge back from my brother Sheldon. Sheldon said, well, man, I just read James, bro. I said, well, bro, I'm finna read James too. And so I read the book of James, and the first thing that I read in James, it talked about why Christians quarrel amongst each other. And I was like, boy, I don't really want to hear that right now. And it was a straight gut check to me. And it talked about quarrels and why we quarrel, because somebody has something that we want and they won't give it to us. So we do what we got to do to get it. And as I began to read that scripture, it not only told me what I do, but it also identified another situation in my life. And I was like, oh, that's why the brother's quarreling with me. And that's why I'm quarreling with him. And it just began to convict me. And what it did is it softened my heart. It softened my heart. And it made me say, why am I fighting? Why does it matter? You know, so as we begin to read the Word, that is where faith comes. And with faith comes courage. And as I began to read the Word, I had an opportunity to take an engagement that was out of town. But before me was an invitation for me to go speak to 150 college students. And I remember I was talking something about it last week. And so I was like, because I had been reading the Word, because I really could have used that check. I really could have. But sometimes, can I be real with you, y'all, real quick? I'm going to be real anyway. Sometimes I get these engagements and I show up to the church, and as I look around, I'll be like, I'm really not supposed to be here. I don't think I'm supposed to be here. I don't even think y'all love God sometimes. And so I find out that sometimes I go to places and I am a minister of the gospel. I'm an international recording artist. But every once in a while I go somewhere, I'm like, I shouldn't be here. Y'all are not ready to do this. Like, this is a waste of this. God can still move here, but there's better things that I believe you could have done than paid me to be here because you want somebody to know I was here. And I'm thankful for the money, so I cannot negate the blessing that I receive, and people are still blessed. But sometimes I go places that I know in my heart I'm not supposed to be there. And so in reading the scriptures, I had to face that question. And I had to face that question, and then I also had to face, why do I do what I do? And as I begin to face that question, I was honest with the Holy Spirit. I was honest with myself. I was like, man, I got bills, man. And he says, well, Reese, let me remind you of what I can do to pay your bills. And then he says, you can pay your bills. And you've done a great job of paying your bills, but you're not happy. And I'm like, well, truth be told, how can I be happy when I know I'm somewhere I'm not supposed to be? How can I be happy when I know that God called me for something greater than to be somebody's entertainment and they push me out the way and then be like, oh, we got him good, Doc. Ta-da, me. Like, how can I be happy being used in a way that degrades who I am as a man? Or as a minister of the gospel, and prostitutes my gift. And so I said, man, you know what? I have to change the process of how I'm booked. But if I change the process of how I'm booked, I'm not going to make as much money. And I just bought this car that I really like, and my wife think I look good in the car, and I don't want to get it repoed. And then we live in an apartment that's really nice, and I don't want to downgrade. My wife likes to shop. Don't clap. My wife likes to shop, and I love my wife when she shops. I like to take my wife shopping. I actually enjoy buying my wife nice things. I really do. And so, somebody, ain't nothing wrong with that. Come on. Like, I really like to. Like, I really like to buy my wife nice. You know, for me, this is what I love about my wife, right? I try to pretend I don't like nice things, and I be fronting for y'all. But then when I get home, my wife will go shopping, but then she'll be like, oh, I bought you these boots. And I'll be like, sweet. Because I don't want to just be like, oh, I love nice things. You know, I be fronting sometimes. She be calling me out. And a lot of times, she be shopping, I see something for myself. And so I thank God that my wife will let me be myself, even when I be fronting for y'all. You feel me? Acting like I'm humble. So, but I begin to ask myself, I begin to tell the Holy Spirit, like, Holy Spirit, like, bro, I got to do what I got to do. And I realized something, man. My wife has been like, Reese, you got to believe in yourself, and you got to remember why you started. And I told my wife, baby, I feel you, but I got to do what I got to do for us. And then the Holy Spirit was like, Reese, you're doing what you do for you, but when I do what I do for you, it's a lot better. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of a time when I was making $10.50 an hour, and I was working 40-something hours a week, and I hated my life. And I was living in that room right behind us, and I was on Twitter, and somebody reached out to me and said, man, I really love your music. Is there anything that I can do to help you? I heard from God. I know God. What do you need? And the first thing that could come to mind was $30,000. And he sent me the check in 2 days. And even after I got that check, I still didn't quit my job. So I got like $30,000 in the bank, and I'm still going to a job that I hate, and I'm miserable, but I got 30 grand in the bank. And I still ain't got the courage to go out on faith, because I was living by faith, but I kept failing, or what seemed like failures. It's like when I moved back to Jacksonville, and I was so excited because I was told that I would have a job as a youth pastor. So I moved back, and I was like, man, this is going to be awesome. And then I showed up, and he was like, oh, the job ain't available no more. I'm like, you probably could have told me that before I got here. And so, you know, I was like, well, God, you know, you set me up for my comeback. And, you know, I would, every morning I'd wake up at 5. I was going to the gym. I was, after the gym, I'd take my Bible and I'd go sit in Starbucks and study my word for like an hour. Then I would just ride around Jacksonville with my hand out the window praying for the city. That lasted about 2 months. And I was like, God, you forsaken me. God, you forsaken me. I'm talking about, bro, I used to be parking my car on 8th Street yelling at God, how could you do this to me? You said you love me. Bro, mad at God. And I was like, fine, I ain't going to pray no more. No lie. I don't know if you remember them talks, Josh, when I called Josh back in 2010 in October. I was like, Josh, you know, I forget this Christian stuff. It ain't working. Josh be like, bro, I feel you. Not helping. Not helping. Not helping. Like, Josh be like, bro, I feel you, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I be like, what? Like, I called you to help me. I had to call somebody else, man. And then on top of that, I'm single. I'm by myself. I ain't got no job, no money. And then every day, my dad, now keep in mind, I'm a grown man living in another man's house, not working, right? So every day my dad like, praise God. No, let me tell you something. The first month I got him, he was like, praise God, son, you can do anything. The second month he was like, praise God, son, what happened with the youth pastor job? The third month, he was like, son, so this ain't going to work out for you? Praise God. Oh, okay. The fourth month, he was like, son, you know, the bills. Let me show you the bills. Let me show you these bills. The fifth month, he was like, son, you got to get a job, man. And I thank God, though, because he was telling the truth. I did need to contribute. And so, you know, but it broke my heart that I set out and I had a plan about the way that my life was supposed to go. And when it all came crashing down, it hurt me so bad that I not only lost faith in God, I lost faith in myself. And what's crazy about it is, you know, because just like every day in life, I healed from it, right? And I got my faith back in God when I healed. Because I was like, God, I'll do something for you. But like, man, God, you do love me. But I never got back faith in myself. Like, I forgave God, but I never forgave me for being stupid. But what I felt was stupid because I lost. And before that time, like, you know, especially when you're not used to losing, it's a difference if I was like in prison my whole life, if nothing ever worked, if I was the person who failed out of everything that I tried. But no, like, I'm not used to losing. And not at that magnitude that the entire course of my life that I had set out, I lost. And so I lost faith in God. And then in losing faith in God, I lost faith in myself. And I got a job that I hated. I was great at it. I was extremely great at it. And I was at the top of my job. But what that did to me by even working at that job, I had learned something. I was like, man, I work a job that people hate. Like, as a Christian, like, I'm just doing the bare minimums. I'm just showing up to work on time and not complaining. And boy, I got thrown to the front line. And it began to build my confidence. And I worked at that job for a year. And after I saved some money, stuff started coming out. And I was like, yes, I'm going with my initial plan. I'm doing music. I got a T-shirt company. I'm doing all that. And I resigned from my job, and I sought out, and I did my ministry, and I was making a little bit of money. And then 3 months later, everything blew up again. And I was devastated yet again. And I was looking at God again like, God, I thought that you had my back. Like, we went through this before. What's going on? And I remember I had to get a job again. And I was broken when I failed that time. I was just devastated again. And I didn't really want to get a job, but I knew that I was getting married. And God gave me a revelation. And this one thing I love about my wife, love this about her. I would go to her and I would say, baby, you just want me to get a job. Just say you want me to get a job. It's cool. She would say, nope, not going to do it. I was like, well, baby, you know, just tell me if, you know, if I'm crazy and I just need to, you know, let this dream go and just let me know. She was like, no, I can't do that. So I used to be like, well, just do it. She was like, well, this is why I won't do it. It's not like you're not working a job because you're lazy. You're working every day. Sometimes 10, 12 hours a day, just what you're doing hasn't paid off yet. So get a job, but still work like you do. And it'd be a difference if you was like, you know, I just don't want to do this. But she said, you told me you're doing what God told you to do. So I'm not going to tell you otherwise. And I used to want her to give me a way out and be mad at her when she ain't give me a way out. And try to put it on her like, baby, if you just want me to get a job, just say it. Everybody else does. If you just want me to give up this music, just say it. She'd be like, I never said that. You look like you want me to. It's hard being married to me, boy. I ain't finna front, bro. And I was just like, just say it. She was like, I'm not going. I mean, When they was telling me to get a job, you ain't say nothing to them. So you must feel the same way. She was like, why you laughing, baby? Like, you must feel the same way. I don't feel the same way. Well, when your parents was telling me to get a job, you ain't say nothing. She was like, that's between you and my dad. I mean, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I was like, you got everything to do with it. Man, you need to tell him where he can go next time he checked me about taking care of his daughter. Sound crazy now, don't it? Well, she. Next time he checked me about taking care of you, talking about some what you do for a living, how much money you got in the bank, talking about you only got $200 in the bank, son. I don't know if I can let you marry him. Trying me like that. You better tell him about me. I told this man what God told me. I told him what God had for me. If that ain't enough, we don't need his blessing. Oh, I need his blessing. I was like, and so, dang, it sounds crazy now. Back then, though, boy, I called Josh back then. Josh was like, hey, bro, if you want to swing on him, let me know. Not helping. Not helping. And I had to call Demetrius. Now, let me stop. He wasn't helping either. Come on now. Now I'm just playing Josh. And he didn't do that. Hey, but, And I just remember there was a still small voice that said, Reese. And when I got the job, and so I went and got a job, maybe $10.50 an hour. I took whatever job I could get. And I remember there was a still small voice saying that this is on the job training for your destiny. Because I started wearing suits again and showing up to work every day. I was showing up to work like an hour early. And my managers, they were like, how come you're always here when we get here? I was like, y'all open the building at 7. Yeah, that's what time the managers will be here. That's what time I'm supposed to be here. They was like, oh, okay. And never forget, man, probably after about a month of doing that, they said, yo, like, what do you do? Like, where are you from? Like, I excelled above everybody else that I worked with because I put in more time. It's that simple. I put in more time. What it is you have a desk of about 225 clients. Every day I would show up to work an hour early, formulate a plan about how I was going to attack each client. I used to put them in a list of order by success rate. And I used to do it by their credit reports, which makes common sense. I was like, okay, who's in the market, who's trying to buy a home? Okay, you just submitted a credit report for a car or for a home. Oh, you want to get this stuff done with. So I'm going to call you first. And then I used to make a list of just what to do. So, of course, when the work done, that red light by my desk, boom, goes off. Got one. Boom, got one. Boom. And they're like, man, how are you doing so well? And the bonuses that I was making, even though I was making $10.50 an hour, I was making $2,500 a month in bonuses. Plus, I was getting like a $500 Target gift card every month. And I was just giving it to my dad for letting me live here. He still got me. I'm like, my dad could hold on to a gift card, boy. Yeah, I need to, let me get that back. Amen. Yeah, let me get that back. But I'll never forget, man. So I met somebody on Twitter. I mean, this brother had just signed a deal for $34 million. And he called me and he said, brother, I train to your song every day. He said, bro, man, there's been times I didn't want to do my two-a-days, brother, and I drove off from the workout, and your song would be in the CD player, and then I hear that, see, I'm going, where? He said, I get so crunk, man, I turn around and go kill that workout, man. And I get another message from another guy on Twitter. He says, man, I got suspended for anger problems. From the NFL. Man, your song calms me down. Like, dang. And I used the money from that job to still work on what God had for me. But had it not been for that job, I would have had to go beg somebody for the money to do that. Right? And, I met another person who had a store that I worked at. And I volunteered there even though I had other stuff going on, even though I had all these things. And he introduced me to a videographer who made the most amazing music video in the world for me. And so, you know, that's how God showed up. But let's fast forward to today. Now that I'm walking in the blessings of God, and now that, like, and this is what God will do, and this is how God this is what God will do. God will always give his children the best. He always will. What we do with the best is on us. Because if we look at our lives, winning looks a lot different than it did when we first walked into this gift. Because I remember, and well, if we would all be transparent, there was a time in our lives when $500 in the bank was a victory. Now, $500, what's that? So what's happened is we've been blessed by God, but in the midst of getting them blessings, we done got a little spoiled. We done got a little bit spoiled, and now it's kind of like, man, I only got $10,000 in the bank. Man, I only got one job. You only got one job. Man, I just got an apartment. Man, I drive a car that's 6 years old. I want a new car. Cause, yo, I have nothing to complain about. I am a man that said, hey, I want to do music. And I'm an international recording artist that has performed at the highest pinnacle of my career, but yet and still, I do things that God doesn't want me to do, and they're good, and I could put God in it, but is it God's purpose for my life? Or is it my purpose, and then I'm putting God in it? It is not God's will for me to put an email address online and whoever calls me and says, I got your money to go. That's not God's will for my RE6. That's not God's will for me. That's the devil taking me to the top of the mountain and saying, man, if you just bow to me, I'll give you everything. That's exactly what that is. And you have to recognize the difference of when God is showing you your inheritance or when the enemy is saying, bro, I'll give you everything. Just bow down to me. And so, because of Galatians, I decided to let go of a check that I feel that I need. And I decided to go talk to 150 high school and college students on last Friday. And when I made that decision, and when I made the decision and the excitement and the courage that the word brought me, I went in and I started texting people. I text Jerry Stackhouse. I ain't talked to this brother in a year. And to my surprise, he texted me back and said, thank you so much, Reese. You don't know how much I needed that. And then I thought about it. I got his phone number so I could use it. But me, sometimes, I'd be like, man, that's Jerry Stackhouse, man. That's Elvis Doomerville. I ain't finna call. I ain't finna bother them. They busy. I was like, bump it. Just, if I get annoying, just leave me alone. If you ain't want Jesus, you shouldn't have gave me your number. Right? And just, I ain't talked to you in a year, so if you don't respond, it's cool. But he texts me back and he says, Reese, man, I really needed that. I'm actually the assistant coach of the Toronto Raptors. And don't you live in Jacksonville? I was like, yeah. He was like, well, bro, I'm going to be in Orlando. I know that's a couple hours. I was like, that's crazy. I was actually about to be in Orlando. On what day? Friday. I was about to be there, too. That's crazy. I was about to be there. Wow. Crazy. That is crazy. That's so crazy. He was like, well, bro, I got two tickets for you. I'll give you the post-game tickets, everything. So I went to go hang out with Jerry Stackhouse at the game. And I ain't never met NBA players before in that. And I'm talking about this brother honored me after the game. Like, I'm talking about when he came out and all the Stack, Stack, he was like, hey, Reese, what's up? Hold up, y'all. Reese, what's up, man? You know what I'm saying? Took me to the court. We talking. And then he was like, bro, man, bro, when you dropping your next album, man? I'm like, what? He said, Reese, I need more music, bro. I was like, and now check this out. Now, I followed what God told me to do, right? I stepped away from the fantasy and I followed my purpose. I stepped away from the fantasy and I followed my purpose. And as I began to do that, let us pray. Father, help me. Jesus, help me. And so I followed my purpose. And so what happens is, as soon as I stepped away from the fantasy and I began to follow my purpose, the Holy Spirit was like, "Boy, I thought you'd never get here. Let me show you what's important." And the Holy Spirit said that what you do in the industry isn't as important as the music you make. Getting the music to the people is more important than you getting your life together. Getting the music to the people is more important than you selling the music to the people. Whatever you do, okay, you in that industry, that's great. Your purpose is to make music that encourages and convinces people that I'm who I say I am. That's it. Your words, your voice, when you open your mouth to speak, it's to give people, it's to direct people and point people to me. The people who love me, you're supposed to give them the courage for me to be who I called them to be. The people who don't know me, you're supposed to make them take a second look and be like, "Dang, God loves me." Now let me tell you this. On the way back, I took a brother to the game, right? That now, and I'm gonna tell you how real this is. This is how real it is. I had an $1,100 bill due today. I didn't know how I was gonna pay it, and I still went to Orlando, cause I was like, it don't matter, rump it. Jazz Stackhouse wanted me in Orlando. I'm finna just lose more money. My wife talking about brump it. I said brump it. Ha 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 ha. Dad, you got the oil? Where the oil at? It'd be your homeboy. It'd always be your homeboy. The ones closest. Hey! Got to let the ones closest to you go. No, I'm just playing. So I went. And so check this out. I actually prayed because I couldn't find nobody to go with. And I was like, "God, who needs to come? Like, whose faith needs to be activated?" So I invited somebody that I brought for the simple mere fact that I was like, this will elevate their faith by being here. And it's somebody that God had put on my heart to pour into to help them with their career in this city. And so I brought the brother with me. And so this was so crazy. Demetrius calls me and he's like, "Hey Reese, I got $100 for you." And I was like, "Man, I really appreciate that." And then on the way home, now it's 2 o'clock. I get him back to his house, and the brother's just in tears. He's like, "Bruh, like, God is just doing so much in me, man. Like, bruh, I need more faith. I just want to da-da-da-da-da-da-da." Now, this brother's in his 40s. So, logically, I'm like, if I'm helping somebody with a rap career, I'm like, "God, why would it be him? 40-something years old. Why are you drawing me to this guy?" And so, as I went back to his house, he was like, "Hey, don't leave yet." I'm like, "Bro, it's like 3 a.m, bro. Like, I got to get home." He was like, "Nah, chill, chill." Him and his wife came downstairs, and we was talking, and we was just chilling. And then he slides $1,000 to me. Then I called Carrie, and I said, I said, "We just paid that bill." And I was like, "Boy, I don't know how we made it, but we sure did. We surely made it." And then he says, and I was like, okay, God, I think I'm going to be where you want me to be. Because let me tell you something. Had I hopped on the plane and been gone, I wouldn't have been here this weekend. What happened to me at that stadium, I'm not going to speak on it yet, but doors were open there. When I spoke to those, like, had I not taken that engagement to speak to those young people, I wouldn't have been in town to go to that game. I wouldn't have took that brother that wouldn't have blessed, slid $1,000 my way. When I spoke to those young people, and I took it as a sign from God, because the place that I spoke is the same place when I was 20 years old and I made a decision that I was going to be used by God and I was not going to be a part of what I came from anywhere. That's the first place that God gave me a microphone. And he brought me back there. And I got a chance to see people that were 17, 18, 19, 20. And as I began to speak into their lives, man, let me tell you, it was phenomenal. Usually, typically, when you go speak to young people, you speak and they go home and that's it. When I got off stage, they all gathered around me. And they made a line to talk with me. And I began to meet. And one brother, 18 years old, he said, "Hey, I have the same thing in me that you have in you. I just need to develop. Here's my card." I said, "Boy, they sharper than us." He's like, "Here's my card." I'm like, "Where you got that?" "I designed it." And he says, and then this one guy, he was like, "Yeah, I run the campus ministry on campus. And man, I would love for you to come and preach on a Tuesday." And I've been praying to God for an army of people that ain't got nothing to lose and are crazier than me. And I met them. And as I said, "I'll be here on Tuesday," they said, "Reese, we down for whatever. We down for whatever. Like, boy, what you want to do, Reese?" This one dude was like, I was like, "Yeah, it's a lot to do in this city." "Well, what you want to do?" I was like, "Bro, you know, I'm starting a dodgeball league." "We'll be there." I was like, "Well, you know, I'm also, you know, my father's opening a church." "Where is it at?" I'm like, "Can I tell you about it first?" "No." "Where is it at?" And I said, "Okay, on Tuesday we'll talk about that." And so I'm like, man, what I did was I invested in my purpose. And I told every young person there, I said, "I'm not here for you. I'm here for me. I'm here for me. I ain't doing this for y'all. I'm doing this because when I walk in my purpose, it's the biggest investment I can make in myself. And you get blessed by it." I didn't read that. I didn't read Galatians so I could preach to y'all today. I read it for me. And you guys get the overflow. So I want to encourage you to get excited about the Word of God. Because you're going to need courage to run this race. Courage don't come from the air. Courage don't come from television. Courage don't come from video games. Courage don't come from a relationship or promotion. Courage comes from faith. You get faith by reading the Word of God. You get faith by not allowing things that are immoral to come into your lifestyle. And as you begin to learn about yourself, like when that show come on and you turn it off, and you walk off, you teach yourself something about you. You like, "I got power over that. I really got power." And as your faith begins to grow and you begin to get full, doing the work of God becomes second nature. And winning becomes something that you get excited about again. Am I the only one that needs to be excited again about salvation? I'm going to pray a special prayer over your life. And it's just, it's going to.